welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Michael.
Good. We're going to talk about adolescent depression, sort of a topic that's right up my alley. It's interesting. It's from the journal Pediatrics. It talks about cognitive behavioral therapy. Just by way of background, a reminder that the general topic of talk therapy has been shown to be effective. The gold standard is this type of therapy we call cognitive behavioral therapy. It's very effective for treating adults, and there are studies to suggest that it's effective in adolescents, and we'll talk about that in a moment. There is an interesting twist on this. A study published this week in Lancet, conducted at the University of Exeter, that's in England, included hundreds of patients, all of whom had the diagnosis of major depressive disorder, and they were assigned into two groups. One is the classic CBT we're talking about. The other is this group called behavioral activation therapy, often referred to as BA. For those of you that aren't familiar with this, it's sort of the B in CBT. So they've taken that out, and rather than have therapists, they train sort of advanced lay people that were nursing assistants and things. And anyways, to make a long story short, they found that it was as effective as CBT. It required a lot less training and a lot fewer sessions. So it looks like while we're going to talk about CBT, there's a new kid on the block that that may have some benefits, if not for all depressed patients, maybe for a subset of patients. And lots more work, I think, on this behavioral activation therapy needs to be done. Anyways, you've got a poem this week. It's published in Pediatrics 2016. It's one of these e-journals, so I can't tell you what page it starts on, but it's in volume 137, and the page starts with an E, and there's about eight digits after that.
It's in issue five,
okay, yeah. Thanks. Anyways, the clinical question, is cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, effective for adolescents with depression who decline antidepressant therapy and treatment with drugs, that is? And that's not that uncommon. Lots of my patients, you know, who use marijuana and smoke cigarettes, but when it comes time to giving them a drug, will decline. So
ooh, I can't take that. That might alter my consciousness.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Exactly.
Well,
so what can we do?
Yeah, the behavioral activation, that's interesting, because I've always thought, you know, the cognitive component, the cognitive reframing component of CBT, I think I was wondered if all patients could participate in that and have the insight and sort of cognitive ability to participate with that and benefit from that. So I think that's interesting that maybe it's the B component that's more important than the C component of CBT. But in any case, this study, they identified patients. So they found, looking at a HMO, they identified patients who were adolescents, 12 to 18. They were given a prescription for an antidepressant from an HMO. And the prescription was never filled, or it was initially dispensed, but then not refilled. So basically, they either chose not to begin, or perhaps they didn't tolerate it initially. Certainly, they never continued with the therapy. They had 212 of these adolescents. They had a major depressive disorder. They randomized them to get usual care with their primary care physician, or treatment as usual, plus four sessions of CBT. If the patients, wanted to, they could continue and get a second set of 4 to 6 sessions. Most of them went along with that. So typically they got 8 to 10 sessions of CBT. Recovery happened significantly faster in the CBT group. It was significantly more likely to recover in the first year, but not the second year of follow-up. So certainly, you know, 1 year, better outcomes. Quality of life was better in the first year after therapy, but not the second. Hospital admissions were significantly more likely in the group that didn't get CBT. Substance use, suicidal behavior, and parent-reported outcomes weren't affected, but these are relatively uncommon. Well, substance use is not uncommon, but perhaps the study wasn't big enough at least to find a difference in suicidal behavior. These results are, I think, consistent with some other meta-analyses looking at CBT for adolescents with depression, a group we are often a little skittish about starting SSRIs. I can imagine these parents got home, immediately Googled the drug, and immediately found these articles that, you know, SSRIs may increase the risk of suicide in adolescents, and they're like, we're not filling that thing. So CBT is a good option for these patients.
Yeah, it's interesting they published it in Pediatrics and not in a mental health journal. I guess it speaks to the fact that most adolescents who are depressed, at least initially, are being treated by pediatricians or family physicians and not psychiatrists.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I guess I wasn't too surprised by that. And I'm kind of glad to see the way they really embedded this in the primary care setting and, you know, in a pretty typical population.
Exactly. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.